everyone, and welcome back to My Curiously Queer Life. I have been thinking a lot this week about boundaries. My boundaries, your boundaries, their boundaries, and the difference between my boundaries and my trauma walls, and they're both very similar. In this life, especially now, we have been talking a lot about protecting yourself with your boundaries, but where does a boundary end and the trauma start? And if I'm just walking around with all these boundaries and I'm in the same place with my walls, and we've given maybe trauma walls a new name by calling them boundaries, I do believe that we should respect each other and be patient around each other. And but I also think that we should be more inclusive, caring, understanding. So this week I have been trying to maybe for sure take care of the people around me, their boundaries that they put in place, but maybe work on my boundaries not being so rigid all the time, because sometimes I feel like I am missing out on things because I'm so stern with my boundaries and my walls, and I need to be less stern. So moving forward, I am taking down my walls, relaxing my boundaries, not a lot, but enough to let some things happen that should be happening, because as much as I revel in the solitude of it all, there is a big life happening around me, and I also need to be part of that. So this week is part 2 of chapter 13, My Sister, Cowboys, and the Twins.
He took a real love for the saddle, like most of us boys in the West. How he'd watch them cowboys riding on Sunday.
Living with my sister had its ups and downs, but we were determined to embrace this new chapter together. There were moments of joy and laughter that we shared, especially thanks to my sister's infectious and slightly sadistic sense of humor. She had a way of brightening even the dullest days. Our quaint abode was nestled far from the bustling city, making my daily commute a bit of a trek. I embarked on a 30-minute walk to reach the bus stop, followed by a half-an-hour bus ride to catch the C train, and finally, another ride to my workplace. Enduring Calgary's harsh winters made this journey particularly challenging, especially when faced with freezing temperatures and snow-covered landscapes. At one point, I decided to purchase a junker, a crappy car, to ease the commute, only to have it swiftly taken away by the police.
License and registration, please.
Despite these setbacks, life continued to unfold intriguingly during my stay with my sister. I landed a job at the mall, where serendipity introduced me to Jamie, a charming young man whose company I truly enjoyed. Eager to introduce him to my sister, we navigated the constraints of our shared living situations by seizing stolen moments on the mall rooftop, hidden from prying eyes. At some point, we decided to split the cost of a hotel room. The moments we shared in that dimly lit and musty hotel room remain etched in my memory. Despite the cramped space and the musty scent that enveloped us, it was a welcomed escape to have intimate time together without the fear of being discovered. Jamie's gentle demeanor and his considerate behavior always stood out to me. Yet the reason for our eventual parting had faded into the haze of an unsolved past trauma that clouded my perception. Trauma has a way of always being there, reminding me of my unworthiness of a good life. I reflect on the complexities of accepting happiness when it finally graces my life, only to grapple with the self-sabotage born from a belief that I don't deserve such joy. Seeking chaos has become a familiar landscape. even when the calm and the goodness beckon at my doorstep. Jamie's lingering presence in my thoughts persists, despite my futile attempts to locate him online. So, Jamie, if you happen to hear this message across space and time, I extend an invitation to you for a long overdue proper date in the light of day. Following Jamie's chapter, another significant figure emerged in my story, Steph. A vivacious and unforgettable presence provided solace and companionship in the midst of life's uncertainties. The decision to depart from my sister's home remained shrouded in a mix of factors. Perhaps the imminent arrival of her baby, the natural ebb and flow of relationships in my life, or the subtle nudges from her then-boyfriend that hinted at an imparting departure. My departure. Being a queer individual in this life, a gay male specifically, I meet lots of people in this life, and I know people love me, but you can always feel this hesitation or this disdain or a look in their eyes when you say something that is gay, or I talk about kissing a boy or holding his hand. I can see the disgust in their eyes, and it is a horrible feeling. I know my sister's then boyfriend was very masculine and very much didn't understand what it was to be gay. I could feel him trying, but also not okay with it. So I'm sure leaving had a lot to do with that as well. Navigating the tumultuous waters of financial strain, Steph graciously extended her home to me, a lifeline in a sea of uncertainty. The days seemed to blend into each other, marked by the scarcity of food that trickled in from our monthly visit to the food bank. During this time, me and Steph found joy together, dancing at the bars in town. It was easy for Steph, as a girl, to get free drinks. I had to work a little harder, but once in a while it happened. Steph's vibrant spirit shone brightest on the dance floor, where we found solace in the rhythm of the music and the freedom of movement. A chance encounter one night outside the bar, a stranger screamed, "It's the dancers!" adding a flicker of validation to my budgeting ego, fueling a sense of recognition and belonging. In a moment of vulnerability, I reached out to my father for assistance with rent, hoping for a lifeline in the storm of not having enough money. And I was only met with a sharp and final fuck off, a warning to sever ties. Such echoes of rejection and fractured relationships have been a recurring narrative in my journey. As swiftly as Steph had opened the doors to me, our chapter together reached its bittersweet conclusion. Another thread in the intricate tapestry of fleeting connections that defined my path. Navigating the intricate web of relationships, I encountered the cryptic twins. Masters of manipulation who wove intricate tales and snared me in their web of influence. Whether they were truly twins, or merely co-conspirators in their elaborate schemes remained uncertain. Their ability to craft compelling narratives and manipulate perceptions was unmatched. The dynamics between them were palpable. The petite yet commanding girl twin exuded a larger-than-life presence despite her stature, while the boy, taller twin, deferred to her every whim, underscoring her dominance in their partnership. Our shared moments were steeped in indulgence, with laughter and libations flowing freely, fueled by the twins' appetite for cruelty disguised as humor. Their fascination with me, their shiny new toy, was evident in the glint I saw in her eyes. However, beneath the facade of merriment lurked a darker side to their nature. When boredom set in, their playful demeanor morphed into calculated malice, manifesting in twisted antics like placing ads in the paper for spies, conducting absurd interviews and reveling in the discomfort of the unsuspecting candidate vying for a fictional job. As an unwilling observer to their sinister charade, I bore witness to their true colors amidst the absurdity of their mock interviews, where desperation and hope mingled in a surreal dance of deception. The twins' callous laughter punctuated the absurdity, serving as a stark reminder of the unsettling depths of their dark personalities and the cold reality that lay beneath their facade. In the aftermath of the twisted games orchestrated by the twins, their facade crumbled, revealing the stark reality of their fickle affections. The once bright spark in her eyes dimmed, replaced by a hollow glaze that mirrored the disintegration of our bond. A pivotal moment unfolded during a cab ride home, where their callous disregard for my circumstance was laid bare as they callously abandoned me to foot the bill, a cruel reminder of their manipulation. Stranded and vulnerable, I resorted to using what little agency I had left to settle the taxi fare. A degrading act witnessed by the twins from their vantage point, their laughter echoing in the night. A haunting reminder of my perceived worthlessness in their eyes. The humiliation I endured that night was a breaking point, prompting a desperate plea to my mother for an escape route, a lifeline back to familiar shores. Between the chaos and disillusionment of my life, my mother's unwavering support shone through. No matter what was happening, she always put a hand out to pull me in from the lifeboat. And I know that I struggle with my family, and I want everyone to know that in the dark and the shadows, even when we were all struggling with our own trauma, we always came back together to support one another. That being said, there's also comes a point when we can't just keep going around in the same circle, doing the same thing. It is exhausting, and I am tired.
Third to the gate, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened and all carry-on baggage.
Returning home symbolized a return to the comfort of familiar spaces, old routines, and the comforting embrace of nostalgia mingled with the allure of new beginnings. But there was only new habits, old addictions, and a relationship that broke the smallest grain of me that I had left. If I was to survive this relationship, I made sure that I did not. So that is the end of chapter 13. I want to thank everyone for listening to my story, and I appreciate you coming back every week to listen to my story. I hope that at least one of you is it's helping at least one of you, and as always, I'm super grateful for all of you listening, and I ask that maybe anyone that's listening could ask one of their friends to listen to. It would really help help me out in the road of this in the app. So I thank you in advance, and I appreciate it. And even if you don't, please just keep coming back. So I guess that's it for this week. As always, fill your tanks with joy, love, and kindness. And when you feel it dripping over the sides even a tiny bit, you share it with the people around you. My name is Thomas St. James, and this is my Curiously Queer Life.